Our first reading today comes from Deuteronomy, and this is the last discourse that Moses gives to the people of Israel before he dies and they pass into the Promised Land. And in our first reading today, what Moses tells the people is that if they obey God's laws carefully, and they're obedient to everything that the Lord has called them to do, then they would flourish as a nation. And all the other nations of the world would look at the people of Israel and say, this great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. And they would see how Israel is flourishing, and because of their moral virtues, they would recognize that God is close to them. And when we look at our country, the United States, our nation was founded by our founding fathers on the concept of individual freedom. But with that freedom is the responsibility to obey God's laws. You know, our founding fathers recognized that the only type of society that can be free is a society with people who are religious and virtuous people. And so for us to have a free society that functions well, we need to use the freedom that we've been given to follow God's laws. And if we do that, we'll flourish as a society. And ultimately, the greatest act of human freedom is to give adoration and worship to God. And so ultimately, the strength of a free society can be measured by the intensity with which the worship and adoration of God is given primacy. You know, this worldview, this view of society and what's necessary for society to flourish, is very different than a separate worldview which is spreading through our country today, which is called progressivism. And progressivism is the belief in, of course, progress. But what progress is can be defined very differently by different people. You know, one person might think progress is very different than another person. And so progress is kind of a nebulous term. It can mean whatever someone wants it to mean. But in our context, there's certain characteristics of the progressive movement and of the values that they adhere to. And they embrace an entirely new and different set of values than what our country was founded upon. You know, some of the values that the progressive movement embraces is a very radical environmentalism, where they place the value of the environment as being more important than human life. And so you'll hear people say that it's irresponsible to have a child because of the effect it could have on the environment. The progressive movement is characterized by unrestricted access to abortion. The progressive movement is characterized by gender ideology, you know, things like men playing in women's sports, or, you know, gender-affirming care and things like that. So this is a very different set of values that progressivism brings in comparison to how our nation was founded. And, you know, ultimately what's behind it is the idea that as human beings, we can define who we want to be, and whatever pleasures we want to indulge in, we should be able to indulge in it, and that there should be no constraints from what has been in the past. That whatever we decide we want to do, we should be able to do without any constraints or guidance from the past. You know, if we look at our Lord's words in the gospel today, he warns us against certain things. And one of the things that he warns us against is folly. Things that are very imprudent to do. And if we think about progressivism, what it does is it unhinges society from its foundation. For our society to function well, we need strong families. We need husbands and wives who are faithful to each other and who are open to the gift of life. We need virtues like integrity, honesty in speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of speech. If we unhinge our society from that foundation, then terrible things are going to happen. And so that's something we could view as folly. And Jesus also warns against arrogance. You know, one of the realities of progressivism is the idea that here in the year 2024, we've come up with all these new ideas that no one's ever lived by before, and this is suddenly the right path, and we can reject all of the wisdom and the teachings that have come to us from our parents and our grandparents and our forebears before them. You know, ultimately, as Catholics, we look to Jesus Christ as the source of truth. Who knows better how human beings can flourish than the God who created us? And so when we want to know how to live and what's going to lead us to flourish as individuals in a society, we look back to Jesus Christ and to the tradition, what has been handed on to us from Christ. And so we don't dismiss the wisdom from the past, we embrace it, and we recognize that for us to flourish, we have to look to what's been handed on to us through the tradition and reject the arrogance that would say we can dismiss everything that's come before us and we can dismiss the wisdom of those who have come before us. Another element of the progressive movement, and this is something that I think is the reason why a lot of people adhere to the movement, and it is unchastity, which our Lord also warns against. You know, if we think about an issue like abortion, if we follow the moral law, and if the marital act is reserved for marriage between a husband and wife who are open to the gift of children, then there would be no need for abortion. It would be unthinkable. It wouldn't even be on the radar screen. The only reason why abortion becomes an issue is when the marital act is taken out of its proper context, and where people place their own desire for pleasure or their own desire for intimacy with others, when they place that above the moral law. And instead of asking the question, what's good according to God's law and what's good for this other person, they just want to indulge in pleasure. You know, people in the progressive movement talk about being pro-choice. But what about the choice to obey God's laws? And for a man not to subject a woman to a situation where she could be in a position where she has an unplanned pregnancy and may consider abortion. Should that man not respect the woman enough to say, I will deny my desires and I will live chastely because I don't want to put this woman in a bad position? Maybe that's the choice that's the proper choice, the choice of virtue. And so, you know, we can see the battle play out politically. You know, certainly in an election year, you know, we see this battle between Christianity and traditional Christian values versus progressivism. We see this play out very clearly. And we should look for candidates and support candidates that promote moral values and virtues. You know, we should support the political leaders who are encouraging us to live in fidelity to the teachings of Jesus Christ. But more than a political battle, you know, ultimately, this is a battle that takes place in individual human hearts, because it's the battle for virtue that each one of us has to fight. You know, something like the battle for chastity. You know, that's something that each one of us needs to strive to master our selfish desires so that we never use other people for our own pleasure, but always respect them for their dignity as a human person. And so, you know, we can see this as a political battle, but first and foremost, it's a moral battle that takes place in the hearts of each and every one of us. And so, I think it's very important for us within our society today to reclaim the value of personal virtue and virtues like chastity. It is good to live by the virtues of chastity. It protects those that we love, and it leads us to a flourishing society. And so we need to recover the value of virtues and recognize that that is the right path. It's a path of self-sacrifice, but it is the right path, and it's the path that's honorable. You know, Jesus says that evil comes from within and it defiles, but virtue purifies. And when we regain the centrality of virtue and following the teachings of Jesus Christ, and when virtues like chastity once again reign within our society, then people will look at our country and they will say that this is truly a wise and intelligent people, because we will be close to God and following his will.